Tomorrow, 115 cardinals of the Catholic Church will withdraw into a conclave in the Vatican's Sistine Chapel to elect a new pope. It will be the first conclave in more than a quarter century, and the first in which medieval and Renaissance pageantry will blend with state-of-the-art technology. NPR's Silvia Fagioli joins us from Rome. Silvia, a lot of changes have taken place in the 25 years since John Paul II was elected. Tell us all about that. How is the medieval and the modern coming together in the Sistine Chapel?
Well, the conclave will begin formally tomorrow afternoon with a procession of all the cardinals. They will be singing Latin hymns as they enter the Sistine Chapel. There, they're going to take an oath, which will be broadcast live on TV, to observe absolute and perpetual secrecy. A Vatican official is going to shout that out in Latin, extra omnes, everyone out. And that's the last time the public will see the cardinals until the one who has been elected, the 265th pope, will appear on the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica. You know, secrecy has always been a hallmark of conclaves, but never more than now because this is the first one of the high-tech age. So the Sistine Chapel has been swept for bugs. The cardinals are banned from taking into the conclave cell phones, TV sets, radios, laptops, PDAs, any kind of gadget with which the outside world could communicate with the cardinals. And the Vatican is very confident that its state-of-the-art electronic jamming and anti-bugging devices will ensure absolute secrecy.
Now, the cardinals have been meeting daily since the Pope died. Have you learned anything about what they've been discussing?
We have very few official details. The Vatican spokesman said only that the atmosphere was very warm, and he claimed that no names of papal candidates were ever mentioned. An interesting aspect of this conclave is the role played by conservative Catholic movements like Opus Dei, Communion and Liberation, and the Legion of Christ. These are movements whose power and influence grew considerably under the papacy of John Paul II, and they've quietly lobbied some cardinals, organized meetings and symposia in the last few days.
Now, John Paul II was the first non-Italian pope in nearly 500 years. What do you think is the likelihood that the papacy could actually return to the Italians?
Well, the College of Cardinals has become much more international in the last 26 years. Italians have much less influence than they did in the 1978 conclave. Nevertheless, there are several Italian papabili. That's the Italian expression for papal contender. Italians are seen as having had a long experience as consensus builders. They're able to compromise and deal with the controversies that the church is facing. Their best bet to regain the papacy would be if the conclave were to be deadlocked. But since there's so many candidates, the Italian bloc is divided, and that could open up the way for a pope from the developing world, where two-thirds of the world's 1.1 billion Catholics now live.
Now, what are the biggest challenges the next pope faces?
There are many controversial questions left unresolved by Pope John Paul. The role of women and lay people in the church, the shortage of priests and priestly celibacy, bioethics, sexual morality, and the use of condoms to combat AIDS. And there's the problem of what's called the silent apostasy, the secularization that's sweeping Europe and leaving churches empty. There's also the issue of relations with Islam. But perhaps the most pressing challenge, one that's felt by both conservatives and liberals, is the issue of collegiality. Now, that's shorthand for more democracy inside the church. John Paul centralized power in the Vatican more than any of his predecessors, and all over the world, Catholics are demanding more freedom and more decision-making power for local bishops, as had been established by the Vatican II reforms in the 1960s.
NPR Silvia Fagioli in Rome. Thanks, Silvia.
Thank you, Leanne.